So everything Paul's talking about,
like I'm writing notes really seriously, Paul's talking. Everything he's talking about the invitation to respond versus the idea of responsibility is so dramatically important. And these are things we don't think about. This is how culture hurts us, and we can't even tell. We're just responding to these things, but we don't ever really think about them. And this is why, again, truth-telling is so critical. And because I love what Paul talks about, God's playing three-dimensional chess and we're playing checkers, we're actually not aware of what's really happening around us. We think we are, we're actually not. And so truth-telling, those emotions of fear, are the parts of us that are like, that want to self-protect, self-promote, and we want to embrace, fear is a good emotion. We want to embrace fear, not try and quench it or run from it, but embrace it. Like, what is this fear saying? That's when we're into confession. That draws us into truth-telling. Thank you. Thank you. So, so let me just give you, I'm going to give you an example, and then we're going to do it together. We don't need to be in groups. We're going to do this individually. So I just want to show you how practical and tactical this is, what Paul's talking about. So we were approached by a government not too long ago, maybe, I guess it's about 10 years now, but by a Muslim government, and they came to us and they said, we have an extremist movement forming in our country. It's a very moderate country. But we've got an extremist element forming, and we don't want to use force. This is a Muslim government asking us. We don't want to use force to put it down because it'll fuel it. So can you put together a team that will come in sort of unofficially and go inside, you know, kind of quell this movement, the beginnings of this movement? So extremism is based in what emotion?
Fear.
These are simple answers now. You got them now. Whoever that was just said, either your identity either comes from love or fear. That's where identity comes from. One of those two places. If it's love, it's from the Father. And if it's fear, it's not from Him. Pretty simple, but very profound. So we looked at the scenario and in this country. So with our people, we looked at it and we call it using the intuitive mind / prayer. And so we started asking God, what's the way to do this? Because Paul said this again, and he noticed this with Jesus. Jesus will not allow us to have a formula. Have you ever noticed that? He will not let us have a formula, because once we get the formula figured out, we don't need Him and we can make money on it, right? That's what happens. So Jesus is always shifting, doing things differently. Thank God He only told us one prayer. Because we're saying that one every time we move. So every time we look at a scenario, it doesn't matter what worked here. This is a new day. This is the beauty of the mystery of life. This is new. We get to be in relationship with the Father again and do this, play this beautiful chess game with Him. And only when you're walking with the Lord, you can't lose. You cannot lose. You cannot. Jesus was never in a win-lose scenario. Ever. If you think you're in a win-lose scenario, you have to self-protect. If you self-protect, you've lost your identity. Right? So Jesus is never like, wow, this could go either way. He never says that. For all the things that Paul's talking about. So we look at the scenario and we realize that once again, and this is specifically for younger people in the room, we realize once again that if you're going to counter a movement, you have to go after the next generation. They're the ones. So the extremists are targeting the next generation. That's how they build movement. And so to counter it, you have to go into the next generation. Well, to go into the next generation in this country meant high school age. So we're going to go into this fairly, it's not super dangerous, but it's pretty tense. And so we realized we need a team of high school kids to do this, right? We decided we probably need 12 or 10 really good high school students that know their identity in the kingdom and understand confession, repentance, and transformation like this. right? Because what we want to do is take him and put him inside an Islamic school, and we need them to bring transformation to the other Muslim students, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Sure. Now, whose parents are going to send those kids? That's our problem. We figured we could get students that would want to try it, but here's what we say to the parents. We'd like your 16-year-old to come with us to a Muslim country. No. No, you're not coming. And we're going to put them in an Islamic school. It's pretty tense. And we can't go into the school with them. We can just train them and put them in there. We need them to be in there for probably 2 weeks. And in 2 weeks, we need them to bring some level of transformation that counters the extremists that are in that school. Will you send your 16-year-old? Would you send your 16-year-old into that? So why not? Because we can't trust God. Can we? So it always comes back. Like, you actually don't believe this stuff, do you? No, you don't. So, but we found parents, because we worked in this particular church, and we're not reckless. We planned it. The thing that Paul said, when we do planning in the present tense. We don't do it by trying to predict horrendous scenarios. We just plan in the present tense. God, what do we need to know and what do we need to do? And then that's how we pray and we strategize and plan, and you know, we're trained and all that. So we took the high school kids, and we had 10 high school kids, 11th, 12th graders, and we took a couple of college kids as sort of like chaperone kind of people, and then our 4 or 5 senior people that worked in the Muslim world, brought them together, and we trained them over 2 months. 2 months, that's all. And here's what we taught them how to do. To know their identity and hear from God. That's what we taught them. To know their identity and hear from God. That's all we taught them. If a person knows their identity in the kingdom and can hear from God, they're going to be okay. They're going to be okay. It's a very simple process and a giant mystery that goes on forever. It's the greatest gift as a parent. I've never been to a parenting conference where they said, we're going to teach you how to know your identity and hear from God. Thank you for coming. It's never been like that. So anyway, that's what we taught them. During that 2 months, I came home one day. We were working out of Atlanta for this project because we thought we had the right students there in a church in Atlanta. And the pastor was willing to do this stuff. And so we were there. And so I came home one day from working with these kids. And I come in my house, and at the table in our dining room is a girl who I have not seen before. This is not unusual for my wife, but there's a girl sitting there. She's 21. She has, like, spiked red hair, and she's covered in tattoos and piercings. And I'm like, hi. Because I used to bring up gang leaders, and, you know, Donna's, she's paying me back. So anyway, so I say to the girl, introduces herself, and I'm like, hi. And she goes, Donna, your wife, yeah, I know who she is. Like, you're Donna, invited me to live here. And I'm like, all right. Now, so the reason me and Donna doesn't have to call me and say, can you pray about this for 6 months, is because Donna knows my identity in the kingdom, and I know hers, right? And I know how Donna operates. And I trust not only her, I trust God's speaking to her, right? And so I figured Donna's has something in her mind, and it's Donna's identity is timeless life giver. That's what God calls her. So I know that whatever has happened between Donna and this young woman has to do with this woman needing life and needing healing, and Donna has decided part of that is bringing her home. And so I was like, well, how did you guys meet? Well, I'm the cashier at Starbucks. And Donna comes in, and I'm like, ah, and she says, you know, we've been talking ever last since Donna invited me to live here because I live out of my car. I'm like, beautiful. So that girl starts living with us. Crystalline's her name. And so Crystalline is living with us, and she's never lived with a family before. She was kicked out when she was young in New Orleans. Her dad was drunk, kicked her out. She figured out how to grow up on the streets in all the ways that you don't want to learn how to grow up on the streets, but she has, and she's quite a survivor. And she's actually quite beautiful. She's quite a beautiful girl. And so tattoos, she has tattoos all over her, and they're chapters of her life. That's how she documents her life, is in tattoos. And I was like, what are the piercings? Are they part of the story? And she said, no, just decoration. All right, that's all right. Okay, so anyway. But she so wants to be a part of our family, that, and so this time all of her kids are grown, just her, yeah. So one day I come home, and I'm looking at, we have family pictures through the house. She's taken a picture of herself and put it in all of our family pictures. It's kind of creepy, actually. Like, and she goes, I just want to be part of the family. Yeah. So she's living with us, and she hears us talking about this trip into this Muslim country. And she says, one day, she says, Jamie, I've never been outside the United States. I was like, good. Okay. And I have. Okay, that's the end of that conversation. And she goes, and I know you're planning on working with these young people to take them into this Islamic situation. And she said, Donna's taught me how to hear from God. I go, oh, here we go. Okay. And I think God wants me to be a part of your team. Now, we're going into an Islamic city. You do not bring girls with spiked red hair covered in tattoos and piercings. Like, that is not the right person to bring. And I can imagine her walking down the street in the city. It's not going to work. And so she says, I believe that God wants me to come. What do you think is my initial emotion about her coming with us on this trip?
No, absolutely.
I'm future tripping so fast. Yeah, I'm so far in the future, we're already all murdered. Yeah, she's gotten us all killed. Somehow she survived in my future trip, and I don't know why. She was all
alive.
Maybe
the Punisher.
Yeah, that's true. And so I'm like, you know, it's my responsibility to protect this team, right? And she's a danger to the team. In the checker game, she's dangerous, not in the three-dimensional chess game that God's playing. But I'm not aware of that. All I'm thinking about is my own. So I'm like, you know what? That's beautiful. We don't always hear right from God when we're new and doing this. Donna's Jewish. Donna has spent a lot of her Jewish life in very Islamic cultures. At great peril, actually. But so Donna said, pulls me aside, and she's like, you're going to say this stuff, and you're not going to do it. You're going to teach this stuff and actually not live by it. So wholeness is my little wristband, which I think actually Paul and his friend spoke at. Wholeness is when the
way of your being matches the truth of your being.
When the way of your being matches the truth of your being. That's whole. That's wholeness. Most of us aren't in that place. The way of our being doesn't match the truth of our being. So wholeness. So that's basically how Donna challenged me. She's like, you know, like, you're going to say it, then we need to do it. And if she hears from the Lord on this, we need to consider her coming. Of course, Donna wasn't going. So I noted that in the conversation. But so this is a challenge. So here's the process I have to go through with the Lord. I get with the Lord and I confess. Right? Here we go. My identity, kingdom's militant peacemaker, that what we're going to do in this Islamic country is what I live to do. It's my greatest choice to go in these kind of scenarios and watch the Lord to use my identity in this particular thing. And I can't wait to watch these high school kids discover the power that is in them and their true identity. I can't wait for them to see it. But I'm afraid of her coming. Because she's not... We didn't train her yet and all this, and she looks wrong, and she's not going to blend into submissive Muslim women and all this. And so I confess, God, here's what I really believe. I believe that she's going to get us hurt, and that if I bring her, even you can't protect our team. And all the parents are going to call me, and I'm going to be ashamed of what happened. That's my confession. Here it is. I laid at the cross. This is what I believe. And then the Lord, then repentance is asking the Lord, what did you say? And he says to me, remember the Samaritan woman. if you're going to go win a patriarchal society that hates your guts as a Jew, who do you pick? A woman that's not even a good woman to win the men? Tactically, that's the stupidest decision, or it's the most brilliant one. Well, Jesus is never in the middle. Is he like, this is really going to work, or this is we're all going to die? And so that's what he said. That's what he says to me. Remember the Samaritan woman. She's tactically the absolute best person you can have, and you're just going to have to trust me on this one. Trust because God loves me. He's for me. He's not looking like, oh, you screwed this up. You're going to pay for that. It's not like that. So he says, if you want to win, I'm inviting you into this, not your responsibility, and I'm inviting her into it. And let's go, and let's do this together. So I say to her, I tell her, and I'm really happy to tell her. It's joyful to me. I'm like, you know what, Kristen, we want you to come. And she goes, I know what I know. And so she's all excited. You have a passport. Have you committed any felonies? Because you got to get a passport. Anyway, she gets a passport. And so we go, we're on the plane. Now, so on the plane have the students, 10 high school kids that we've trained, her, and a couple of college kids and two or three adult, you know, older. She said, I say to her, Kristen, your job, here, I want you to be like my personal assistant. This is me still trying to control it. Like, okay, she can come. But you stay right with me, okay? Like, yeah, my personal assistant. Like, I don't even want to look, and you're not right next to me. And she's like, okay. She's sitting next to me on the plane, flying over this country, and she goes, Jay, I've been asking God what he wants me to know and what he wants me to do. I'm like, why did you teach her this? And she says, I have a strategy for what to do there. And I'm like, I've already told the team the strategy. We don't need any new strategy at all. Old strategies are the best strategies. They don't work. They're still the best ones. It costs more money. But she goes, well, I have a new strategy. I feel like the Lord's in my identity wants me to do something. I'm like, okay, well. She says, I'm going to walk up and down the street of the city. And I'm already like, you're my personal assistant. If I'm not walking up and down the street, you're not walking up. You're right here. You're standing right. I look, and there you are. You're not walking up and down the street. She says, I'm walking up and down the street of the city of these Muslims. And she said, I'm going to do what Donna did to me. Donna just was talking to me in Starbucks, and I said something about myself, and Donna said, that's not true about you. Do you want to hear what God thinks about you right now? Have you ever heard God speak to you? This is what my wife said to her as the cashier at Starbucks. And Kristen says to Donna, yeah, and Donna prays for her, and Kristen hears God speak to her. She goes, so I'm going to do that with Muslim women. I'm just going to walk up and down the street, and I'm going to walk up to them, and I'm going to say, have you ever heard God speak? And they're going to say no, and I'm going to say, do you want to hear him speak right now? And they're going to say yes, and I'm going to pray with them, and they're going to hear God speak, and this movement's going to start. And I'm like, no, you're not doing it. No, you're not. And this is what I said to her. I've been doing this for years. I know what I'm doing. You don't know what you're doing. I'm older than you. You don't understand. You don't know what I know. And so you're young. You're young and you don't know. So just learn this time. And sometime in the future, long after you're away from me, you can do your own thing. Isn't that the responsible thing to say? That's what I told her. And that broke her heart. Because what I was saying to you, we want you to hear from God. And I want to hear what he says to you, as long as it doesn't go against anything, I think. Right? So, but of course, you know, and I'm afraid. And so back to confession, Lord, I'm on the plane, Lord. Yeah, I'm just afraid of her. She's going to do this, and we're going to get... And then what if the Muslims don't hear from God? All these things, you know. Because then Satan's sitting on this side of me in the plane, going, that's the stupidest idea. You know, he's right there. That's how responsible. And so I'm confessed. The Lord says to me, remember the Samaritan. Who told the Samaritan woman what to say to the men? Her relationship with the Father. Jesus didn't tell her what to say. He just walked her into her true identity and said, let me know what happens. Because now, well, from you flow the rivers of living. Where's the rivers of living water flowing for Kristen? Not from my wisdom, from her. And she's letting them flow, and I'm damming them up. Because it's dangerous, and it's on future tribute. So the Lord's, I confess, he says, let her go. Let her do it. Trust me. Don't trust her. Trust me. Right? And so I'm like, okay, Kristen. I said, Kristen, okay, we'll figure out how to do that, but don't do it right. Let me go with you. So I'm still trying to control it. Yes, Lord. You know. And so I say to her, this is a beautiful plan. It's a good idea. Just let's get a couple days in. Let's see the scenario. Because it's, and then we'll see what happens, you know. And she's like, okay, good. So then we land and we take a bus up to where we're going to be in the city. And I find this 10th grader, whose name is Ashley, who's this very sweet, she's actually a professor of Arabic now. Back then, she's a super sweet Georgia girl, very obedient, unlike Chrislyn. And I say to Ashley, hey, Ashley, I'm going to make Chrislyn you're in charge of Chrislyn. Basically, you're in charge of Chrislyn. you report to me everything that she does, and don't let her take you anywhere. And Chris and Ashley's this real sweet. She's like, okay, Mr. Winship, okay. And I'll take that. And so I say, Chrislyn, I then I get to Chrislyn, see Ashley, you're in charge of her. And she doesn't know what she's doing here, so don't put her in any danger. Don't put responsibility on Chrislyn for Ashley. Right? So you stay with her, take care of her. She's not street smart like you are. Ashley, tell me everything that Chrislyn says, and don't go anywhere. That's what I'm doing. Yes, Lord, whatever you say. We get into the hotel, it's evening, and I say to all the students, okay, let's go to bed. Go to your room. Stay in your room. Try and sleep through the night. Tomorrow morning, we'll reassemble in the restaurant of the hotel, and then we're going to go out into the school, and we're going to start engaging in the school. Everyone goes to bed. I watch Ashley and Chrislyn go into the room. And, okay, I go to bed. But Chrislyn doesn't go to bed. And Chrislyn says to Ashley, do you want to go out and walk around the city? And Ashley's like, well, Jamie said. She goes, no, Jamie told me I'm in charge of you. So, and I gave him my strategy, and he likes my strategy. So he didn't tell you my strategy. And she said, no, you told me just to tell him everything you say. yeah, because he wants to hear my strategy work. That's what he means. So let's go out. Let's go out and walk up and down the streets of this Muslim city. And so they do. So they go out. I'm in bed thinking I've got everything under control. Nothing to worry about. They go out. And so here they are walking down this main street of this city. This red-haired spiked. She did take out the piercings. But I got her to do that. Tattooed, beautiful girl. And this little, sweet, innocent 10th grader. And they're walking up and down the street. And, this Muslim city. And the Muslims are just looking at them like, where did they come from? And so Kristen goes into this bookstore with Ashley, and she's talking to the clerk, because that's where Donna talked to Kristen. See, she's doing what was done to her. So she finds this cashier, this Muslim girl, and the girl speaks English, and Kristen's like, hey, have you ever heard God speak? And Ashley's looking at him. Ashley says, I never heard God speak. And Kristen's like, all right, both of you, okay. All right. And the Muslim girl says no. And Kristen says, do you want to hear him speak right now? And the Muslim girl, who's like 22, says, can I get my cousin first? And Kristen's like, oh, my, yes! And she says, well, she's at her house. Do you want to come to her house? Yes! And Ashley's like, Jamie said that I'm not supposed to. Kristen goes, no. No, this is part of the strategy. This is part of the strategy. He meant don't do it unless it's part of my strategy. This is part of my strategy. So and she's like, do you want anyone here to speak to you, Ashley? Yes. Okay, shut up and let's go to the house. So they go to the house. They go to the house, and the girl, the 22-year-old Muslim girl, brings Crystal and Ashley and introduces them to her grandfather. And if you can imagine this guy, he's just sitting in his house like a Tuesday night, and in walks in this red-haired, you know, what's that book, you know, the dragon lady. He's like, there she is. That's what she looks like. The girl with the dragon tattoo, only it's tigers and dragons, and it's each chapter of my life. And walks in, and Ashley, this cute little blonde little girl from Georgia, and they just come walking into his grandfather, who's been through generations of war, and his granddaughter goes, this is Kristen and Ashley, and Kristen's like, hi, and Ashley's like, hi, and he's like, where did they come from? And she said, I don't know, they just walked into the bookstore and asked me if I wanted to be her best speed. And I said, I didn't have never heard, and the little American girl hasn't heard either, but this one, I'm your God, I guess. So I was in here, and so I brought him home to do this. And the grandfather's like, welcome. You know, he doesn't know what is. And so, have you eaten dinner yet? And Crystal's like, no. And so they eat dinner, and the whole family comes in, all of them. They all come in, and they invite him to spend the night. And Ashley's like, well, Jamie's like, it's part of strategy. It's part of strategy. And so Chris is like, yeah, we can sit, we can spend the night. Jamie just told us to stay together, whatever we do. Actually, we're together, aren't we? Okay, well, we're following the rule. We're in the rule. So they spend the night, they eat dinner, the family loves Kristen, they love Ashley. And so the four girls, Kristen, Ashley, and the two Muslim girls, go upstairs into the room. And it's real quiet. And the Muslim says, okay, I want to hear God speak to me. And Kristen goes, okay. And so she comes over, and she puts her hand on the Muslim girl, and she says exactly what Donna did to her. She goes, God, my friend doesn't know that you speak. She thinks that she's separate from you. She's not. But she thinks that she is. Will you show her that you've always been with her and you've always loved her? Will you speak to her? And Ashley goes, and me too, you know. And she's never heard. She's like, this is new to her too. So then they wait. Now, why would you not do that with a stranger like that? Yeah, fear of what? Yeah, that God wouldn't show up. What kind of God is that? God, we're going to call out your name and your mercy if you happen to feel like showing up, but we don't know if you will or not. That's the God you serve. That's the God we serve. Unbelievable. It is unbelievable. And so, nothing happens. They wait. Krishan says, what's your sense? And the girl's like, nothing. And the other Muslim girl's just quiet. And Ashley's just like nothing. And Krishan's like, all right. Well, good night. And she goes, they go to bed. Now, here's the thing about Kristen. Kristen is not getting her identity from what happens. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
That's why she's absolutely fearless. She trusts God that he'll do whatever he wants to do out of love for these Muslims and Ashley and her. And she doesn't get her identity based on her performance or God's performance in that situation. So she's absolutely free. She cannot lose. Do you understand that? She doesn't care. I asked you to speak. Let me know when you speak. I'm going to bed. And they all go to bed. And Ashley's like, whoa. She just gets to bed. She doesn't even know what's happening. They go to bed. Late at night. Almost morning. Kristen is awakened by the Muslim girl who's standing in the center of the room talking to somebody. And Kristen's looking at her in the dark. And she can hear her talking. The Muslim girl. And she says, are you okay? And the girl says, yeah. She looks at Kristen and goes, yeah, that's amazing. And she said, who are you talking to? And she said, this man, he's sitting right there on the bed next to Ashley, this man. And she said, are you safe? And she said, oh my God, I've never been this safe. And Kristen says, do you know who it is? And she said, no. She said, Kristen is asking. And Chris got this big smile on her face. She heard Chris and I already noticed who it is because he was at Starbucks. And the Muslim girl goes, how are you? And she goes, she listens and she looks back and goes, it's, she's in the Arabic, Aisa, I must see. is Jesus the Messiah? And Kristen goes, all right, let me know how it goes. And goes, all right. The next morning, Kristen and Ashley get up, and the Muslim girls are already downstairs telling their family that Jesus was in their room last night, that he came, and that he came as part of the Americans coming, that he was friends with the American Christians. They didn't identify themselves as that, but that's how the Muslims identified. And they're telling their grandfather that Jesus has come and he wants to bring them all together. And so Christian comes down and Ashley comes downstairs and Christian's listening to him, and the grandfather says, you have brought Jesus to us. He's come. And he goes, we are so grateful for this. That he has come here with us. And Kristen goes, yeah, it's my pleasure to have. He spoke to me at the Starbucks, and they're like, what's Starbucks? And she's like, no, it doesn't matter, but. And Ashley goes, Jesus was there last night? And most of her was, hey, sitting on the bed right next to you. She looks at Kristen and goes, and you didn't wake me up? It took Ashley years to get over this incident. She was so bitter that Jesus showed up and sat next to her and nobody woke her up. So I wake up, I come down, I'm doing, ready for the breakfast meeting, and I'm looking around the room and I'm going, oh, no. And I said, where's Kristen? And everyone's like, yeah, we haven't seen her. And I'm like, where's Ashley? I'm like, oh, no, we haven't seen her either. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I'm freaking out. Why? Because it's out of control.
Yeah.
And if I don't control it, God can't control it. I mean, what's God up to? He probably doesn't even care. He doesn't care what happens to me. I'm going to be embarrassed. What's God doing? You know, there's so much to tell me. Hey, God's not really doing anything. And so I'm like freaking out. I'm like, we got to find it. And they come walking in. And they come walking in, and Kristen just comes bebopping and just sits down. I can tell Ashley's mad about something. I can't tell. And I said, Kristen, like, where have you been? And she goes, Jamie, you have strategy? And I'm like, where have you been? Well, you know, we were walking up and down the street. And she tells the whole story. And she says at the end, she goes, the grandfather and the fathers want to meet with you, Jamie, because they want to know how to hear Jesus. And so she goes, you know, Jamie, the strategy that you and I came up with. And all high school kids are like, is this what we're going to do? And I said, yeah, so this morning I'm going to introduce you to our strategy. We're going to walk up and down the street and say, and that's what we did. And that's what we did. In two weeks, those high school kids, not only did they bring transformation, they themselves fell in deeper love with a God who is like that, that can do that. They didn't have to have her. That's their God, the one that they, and they saw him love them and love the Muslims. And on the day we left, we went to the bus station at like 5 a.m. All the fathers were in the parking lot weeping because we were leaving. Weeping because of what Jesus had done in their community. And we went back to Atlanta. You can research all this to verify all this. Over the next few years, the mayor of that city came to faith because of the young Muslims that had come to faith. He came to faith, this huge transformation in the city. I think Paul probably knows some of these guys too now. They came to Atlanta. The mayor came to Atlanta and wanted to meet the pastor of the church that Ashley and Kristen went to. And that church formed a huge relationship, this church in Atlanta, with this city. And they started bringing students from that Muslim country into this church that goes on to this day. And they have this very deep and powerful relationship. And now those guys are at the National Prayer Breakfast. And all this happened because of one Starbucks clerk. Now, that means we have no excuse. We are without. There is no reason to be afraid. This is not an accusation like both. It's just an observation. Why live like this when you can live like that? That's the invitation of God to us. In our own identity, not our responsibility, an invitation to respond like that. Why would we not do it? Right?
I don't have any hair color.
That's right, yeah. Get a tattoo. Yeah. So here's what I'm going to do right now. We're going to do this, and then we'll be done. So take a piece of paper. Make a piece of paper that you can that you don't need. A scrap piece of paper is fine. Right. So this is what we do. You need a scrap piece of paper to get home from somebody, but something that you can throw away or something. So Chris Lynn lives, I think she lives in Oregon. She's married, she has two kids. And Ashley she's in an Arab country, married to an Arabic professor. Yeah. Amazing women. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do an identity exchange. Every time you interact with Christ, it's an exchange, right? Remember the Old Testament is a covering, the cross is an exchange. Whenever you come into contact with the Lord and the Spirit, which is always, you're always exchanging what's false for what's true. That's how transformation occurs. So it's always asking God to search us and know us. Is there any offensive way in us and lead us in the way everlasting? You will come to a point where you don't have to do it as much. Like, what did you say, Paul? The heavy construction is done. You get past it. I got to do this for 50 years. But it's like God wants the transaction to occur. He wants the lies gone. But it's a never-ending, beautiful journey. No matter how deep you are with Christ, he'll go deeper with you. And no matter how well you think you know yourself, there's more of yourself that you don't know without him. And the same about the Lord, of course, with the mystery. So it's a simple process to know and understand, but very profound, and it's eternal. It's beautiful, eternal. I'm doing things this year that I just would have never thought of. What makes me excited is I know that next year, there's more stuff to do that I don't know. It's like the most amazing. But we don't live in the future. We just live in the present. It's one of I told Paul last night when he taught about living in the present, it's one of the most profound things I really got a hold of. I know you guys are doing this. You kind of know what we're talking about because your spirit already knows this stuff. It's just we put words to it and then we start actually living it out. It's very beautiful. So what we're going to do is we're going to walk through this exchange process just about identity. Confession, repentance, transformation is about any kind of lie-based thinking that produces negative emotion in us. This is just about who you are, this process here. We do this process often. Matt will actually call me or I'll call him and we'll ask each other identity questions. We'll talk about it later, but that's how we hold each other accountable. So what we're going to do here, it's the same process. I'm going to silence the enemy. We're going to shut down all the lies and accusations just so we can listen clearly. And then we're going to walk through false identity and the truth. Okay? So let me just pray. Father, thank you for Chris Lynn and Ashley. Lord, these amazing women. Thank you for being, Lord, so beautiful with them in that country. And so life-changing to both of them. All the Muslims there that came to faith, and the guys that were the actual fighters that now lead the movement of Jesus were the actual militants, the ones that now lead it. And just how beautifully you do this, Lord, we love you. Thank you. So right now, Lord, would you just shut down the enemy in the name of Jesus? Just silence our minds, silence the voices of the lies and the false that we've been listening to our whole life. Just quiet us, Lord, with you. That's all I was talking about this morning, early this morning, just that beautiful place where you're always with us. We're just present with you. We're just in that place right now. We're with you, and it's quiet because the enemy is not there. The lies are not there. Lord, in this very beautiful place, just bind us to you. Bind our mind to your mind and our heart to your heart and our spirit to your spirit. Just give us your thoughts, your wisdom, your thinking on these things that we're going to talk about right now. So we trust you, Father. Thank you for it. Okay, this is what I want you to do. Lord, would you just search me right now? Search me right now. And Lord, would you say to me the names that I believe about myself, the identities I believe about myself that are not from you. Okay? Just I want you just to think about this. What are names and identities or things that you believe about yourself that are not from God? Lord, would you just lead us in that and just let whatever pops in your mind, don't psychoanalyze, just what, Lord, what are lies, what are false names I believe about myself that are not from you? And just write them down. Just let them come. The Spirit convicts us of things that are not true. So Lord, just lead me in names I believe about myself that are not from you. Some of this may have come up last night. But this is more directly about identity. Just take a moment to do that. Just names I believe about myself, the things I believe about myself that are not from you. Okay. All right, when you have that, this is a pretty short process, so. Just let them come up. Don't try and hide them. Don't try and protect yourself. Just let them come up. You already believe them about yourself, so just go out of it. All right. Okay, when you have those, I'll talk about this also, but your imagination, he is kept in perfect peace whose mind and imagination is fixed on God because he trusts in God. Your imagination is fixed on lies, it produces fear. If your imagination is fixed on God, it produces peace. Right? So, Lord, would you sanctify my imagination? Would you just sanctify my imagination and you guide me, Lord? And this is what I want you to do. I want you just to picture Jesus standing in front of you in any way that you see him. Jesus, just show yourself to me in any way you want me to see you right now. So however you want to visualize Jesus, that's fine. That's fine. Lord, just show me how you want me to see you. And the reason we're visualizing Jesus is because he's the exact representation of the invisible God. So if you want to see God, you look at Jesus. So that's how we're doing this. Just visualize Jesus. Okay, now I want you to take the list that you have and I want you to imagine or image handing that list to Jesus. I just want you to imagine or hand that list to Jesus and I want you to watch what he does with your list. Just hand the false names to Jesus and watch what he does with that. Okay. All right. Okay, now, if we had a lot of time, I would make each one of you say what you saw, but someone just yell out what you saw Jesus do.
Wadded up, threw it behind him.
Wadded up, threw it behind him. Who else?
Burned it.
Threw it in the fireplace.
Threw it in the fireplace.
He started laughing,
nailed it to the cross. He does the laughing thing, he does a lot with me. I'm freaked out about something, and I pour it out. He just bursts out laughing.
Granted, he smiled and it disappeared.
He grabbed his smile and it disappeared.
Okay.
Did anybody see Jesus open it up and start going through it one by one with you? Anybody see that? Okay. All right. Okay, if you saw that, you come talk to me, okay? All right. But why does Jesus not open it up and talk about it?
It's not real.
It's not even true. And Jesus won't deal with what's not true. So the challenge for us is, why do we keep opening it up and looking at it every day, all the time? Okay? So, ball that list up. That's why I wanted you to just ball it up. We're going to throw it. You can throw it in the fire yourself. This is what Jesus does with it. How often does Jesus remember this list? Never. No more. All right. Okay, so now when you do this process, and listen, this is like disciplines. I might have to do this every day until I actually really believe this stuff. The working out your faith, working out your salvation with fear and trembling. So it's a practice that we're going to keep doing, because when will the enemy stop trying to accuse you? Never. So this is just a continual practice. Nope, we're not doing this. Submit to God, resist the enemy. Submit. Okay. So now you just swept the house clean, we call it. You just swept the house clean of all the false. And Jesus warns us. When you sweep the house clean, if you do not fill it, what happens? It comes back worse. So a lot of times we're in church or wherever and we puke out the false, but we don't replace it with anything. And so then what comes back is the false again on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, worse. Okay? So close your eyes for a second. Close your eyes. Okay, so whatever he did with your list, threw it away, burned it, whatever he did with it. Okay, now your house is clean. Your spirit is clean. It takes energy to maintain the false. It takes a lot of energy to maintain the false identities and to compensate for them. So now we don't have those. Okay, so we need Jesus to tell us what our identity actually is. So I want you just to look at Jesus however you see Jesus. He took your list. And ask him, Lord, what do you say about me? And I want you to write down the first thing that comes into your mind. Lord Jesus, the true Lord Jesus, what do you say about me? Who do you say that I am? And just write down the very first thing that comes into your mind. Hearing from God is the free flow of thoughts that go through your mind when you fix your eyes on Jesus and ask him a question. That's what it is. Lord, what do you call me? What do you call me? Just write that down. You must receive it. You must receive it. Okay, now you may not understand it. It doesn't matter. Just write it down, receive it. Like Paul's example of that. Jester, he didn't quite understand it. It's a journey. Okay, somebody say a word that they heard or sense. Let me say it.
Overcomer.
Okay, overcomer. All right, beautiful. Okay, so the overcomer. So the next question I would ask Jesus is, what do you mean by overcomer? And you just start the journey. What does it mean? Overcomer of what? What does an overcomer do? Because it's very unique, that word, to who heard it. What's another word?
Disciple.
Okay, disciple, beloved.
Valuable.
Valuable? Okay, now, when the Lord, if I'm looking at Jesus and I say, and I give him the false thing, and I say to me what you want me to know, and he says, valuable, what do I believe about myself before he says that?
Not valuable.
Not valuable. That's what he's doing. He's speaking against the false belief in you. So when he calls you a conqueror, what do you think the enemy calls you?
Loser.
When he calls you beloved, what is it that you believe about God?
Not loved.
That you're not loved. And so that's why you must receive what he's saying. So we were talking about this earlier. So if God said, so I was praying with a guy and he said, I don't really hear anything, it's just a verse. And I said, what's the verse? Be still and know that I am God. Do you know what that verse means about that guy? He's not still and he doesn't believe that God's God. So God's telling him, be still and know that I am God. Now, how often will God have to tell him that?
Frequently.
And how often is God willing to tell him that? Every time. As long as it takes. And then one day, that guy's going to go, wow, I really believe I can really be still and know that he's God. And then God goes, good, let's get going. Here we go. Let's go. Here we go. He's telling you, he's reassuring you in your unbelief, you're loved, you're a conqueror, you're valuable. Do you believe that? Kind of, you're valuable. Lord, show me that I'm valuable. Okay, let's go. Okay, I get it, I'm valuable. All right, next level, here we go. Forever. It's the most incredible. Always asking the Lord, what do you call me? What do you say about me? What do you call me? Because the world will, wait. I reject that name, Jesus. Lord, what do you call me? I remember you called me beloved. What does the beloved do in this situation? What does a conqueror do in this situation? What does a valued person do in this situation? We don't strive. We don't have to. We're valued. We're conquerors. We're loved. We can rest and then work. Work from rest. Yeah. Rest, work. Not exhausted. I labor, Paul says, according to his energy, which energizes me. Whose energy energizes me? I'm not striving. I'm not trying to make myself do it. I'm simply moving in invitation by God and receiving everything he has for me. For courage. It's very beautiful. Follow me. Follow me. Come on. God is with you. He is with you. He doesn't need slaves. He wants friends in relationship. God will only talk to you in this identity. Only in what's true about you. Your love. Talk to me about a talk to me like a person who I love. Don't talk to me like you're a person who I'm mad at. Talk to me like you're valuable. Don't talk like you're unworthy. That's what he's saying. Right? Father, thank you for this. Just thank you. Would you seal these things in our heart? These names. And Lord, would you just keep us in the practice of truth telling, mind change and transformation in our true identity. Just in the present tense. Just in the present tense. And forward, Lord, we just so can rest and find joy in this, and love, and peace, and patience, and goodness, and kindness, and gentleness, and faithfulness, and